The quartet from Anchorman 2, Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Dave Koechner, Paul Rudd.
Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers number one.
Rainn Wilson here on the Rich Eisen podcast. How are you? Is that the 12th man?
Have you been in that stadium? Uncanny. Your ears literally bleed. They should hand out, like, ear tampons.
At LT underscore 21. Do you follow me on Twitter?
Uh-oh.
The headsets are coming off.
I know you're known for your lateral movement, but don't you leave just yet.
When you spoke to the commissioner,
Roger the Goods Goodell. When he comes down the hallway, everyone goes, Here comes the goods.
He is Vince Vaughn. How are you, Vince?
I got to tell you, I did take David Wilson early in my fantasy draft.
Uh-huh. Who else is on your fantasy team?
I'm in an 18-man league. We call it a man's league, Rich. And,
awesome. NFL. Oh, my God. NFL.
Completely.
Cover yourself. Hey. Where's Jerry Jones? Grab the hot trophy. Jerry Jones did it.
Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm Richard Eisen.
I don't download many podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Rich Eisen podcast. Here's your host, Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the final edition of the Rich Eisen podcast here on the NFL Media Podcast Dial. We were the first ever one of these for the NFL Media Group, and we are now sort of signing off with this show. And there are words that I never thought I would ever say. And the fact that I'm saying it, I would always thought that if I ever did, it would be more than just the melancholy that I feel right now. But it's for a good reason. You know, as you folks who have been downloading this podcast recently know, we are changing this show into a daily program. 3 hours a day between the hours of 12 and 3 Eastern time. It's a television show. It's an audio show all in one that's going to be aired on the Audience Network on the DirecTV channel 239 or DirecTV radio dial, television dial. And it's also going to be available on the NFL's new app, streaming live on NFL Now, which is available internationally for all those wonderful international listeners that have been listening to this show, and everybody out there who has spent the 4 years listening to this show and talking about it and tweeting about it and telling your friends about it and communicating with us about what you've enjoyed. It means so much because we've built it, and now it's turning into something much bigger than it's ever been. Available again on TV. There'll be a radio component to it. The audio podcast version will be available on podcast1.com. I know a lot of the folks out there have been wondering how you can listen to the show in a manner that you've been accustomed to consuming it. Podcast One is going to be the new distributor of this show in a podcast form. NFL Now will archive the show. The television version of it will be archived on NFL Now. So if you don't catch it wherever you are on the globe between 12 and 3 Eastern time, you can go to NFL Now and get it. So there's so many different ways of consuming this show that is becoming so much bigger than it's ever been. And that's why I'm getting a little dusty in here.
It's okay, Rich. You're Thanks, allowed. Chris it's Brock. Your show.
No, it's not. It's really, it's our show.
It's your show.
That's kind of you to say, Rich.
I mean, we're just happy to be along for the ride.
Yeah, we've been riding coattails for 4 years. Let's be honest.
And look where the ride has taken us. We're conducting this final podcast from the new beautiful sort of library type setting. This cool, hip mahogany library type set.
Smells of rich mahogany.
That they have built. The DirecTV people have built for this show.
It's incredible.
On its El Segundo campus.
It's unbelievable.
I believe it's a Spanish cedar, but it is beautiful.
Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, for those who are in L.A. or anywhere.
You guys are sitting in purple lege.
Yeah, I mean, just like if anybody's ever been to a Soho house, and I know there's a lot of U.K. listeners as well.
Of course.
It looks like a library bar, which is what I wanted it to be, and they built it.
which is a little different from the VO booth we were in
with a shower curtain
to a storage closet, a.k.a. Stage 7, Studio 66, whatever you want to call
it. Don't forget, like, the side of the Red Zone ATL studio that was about 40 degrees that we had to do.
Now we're in 4,000 plush square feet on the DirecTV campus, glass everywhere.
But the neat thing about it, too, is, again, this was the first ever podcast. Because in 2010, podcasts weren't that big.
Right, there was a handful.
They were beginning, and I saw what, you know, be very honest, I saw what Bill Simmons was doing.
Yep.
And I even called him up to say, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Because it's an incredible platform. And Simmons' podcast is through the roof in terms of listeners and followership. And I thought maybe that's something that I could do and do something that marries the NFL and the world of entertainment, since the NFL is a touchstone of our pop culture.
No doubt.
Again, the most watched game that the NFL has is stopped in the middle for a rock concert.
If we consider Bruno Mars rock.
Or a musical interlude.
Bruno Mars, I'm not a fan, but he put on a great show last year.
It was highly entertaining.
In what could have been freezing cold. He raised his hand and said, okay, I'll do it in 20-degree weather if that's what happened.
And it ended up being a nice day. The weather was not an issue. I know I was worried
Timothy Oliphant loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He did.
So much.
No. Chili Peppers.
And that's, again, what we loved about the show is that it allowed Timothy Oliphant. It allowed the guy that everybody sees on Justified. It allows Sheriff Bullock from Deadwood, a Deadwood hat we have, by the way, on our set here.
Yeah, we do.
It's just like it's a pop culture museum, this set that we have here. So it allows folks like Timothy Oliphant to talk about the NFL in a manner that maybe we talk about it.
And to go on an epic rant about how the Chili Peppers weren't plugged in. They were air guitaring their halftime performance.
Although, now that we're on live television, we can't just allow people to curse as much as Timothy Oliphant did. He did set the record,
broke Cannavale's record.
A mark we thought was untouchable.
It was almost like the Gehrig streak that Ripken topped.
Yeah. That's just the way my mother raised me. Right. That was one of the best lines.
So we're going to try and save that archive. Right?
Yes, hopefully we'll be able to.
Because everybody who subscribes to the Rich Eisen podcast on iTunes needs to resubscribe on Podcast One. Correct?
Yeah, so Podcast One will be the new host of the podcast. So right now, iTunes isn't even the host. iTunes just has our podcast, and they pick it up. There's another site that hosts it. Podcast One is the new host. You can go to podcastone.com and listen. But if you have a connected device, cell phone, tablet, and it will be on iTunes. It'll be on Stitcher. It'll be on those other third-party apps. So in about a week's time, you're going to have to research The Rich Eisen Show and resubscribe, because you will no longer be getting our show on a daily basis if you just are subscribed to us.
And we got to, again, not to go on a Simmons-like rant calling out management on one of their own
please
podcasts.
Please don't get suspended, Rich.
This new Rich Eisen Show means too much to me to do that. I'm not going to risk it. But we do have to figure out a way to keep these 290 shows that we've done over the last 4 years somewhat alive and subscribable.
Absolutely. I'll take that up the flowchart. It'll definitely be kept alive.
Very good. So we got that, and it all starts October 6th. And then there's going to be soon to be a radio, daily radio component.
Right.
If you're listening, if you're driving around in your car,
iHeartRadio app.
We don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know where it's going to be, but it'll be somewhere.
There'll be something that you can go ahead and download and listen to on a podcast. One, there'll be something that you'll be able to listen to live when that gets announced sometime in October, and there will also be a way for you to watch it on NFL Now or DirecTV, and a handful of Root Sports networks.
Yeah, I believe Pittsburgh
as well.
Is one of them. I think Kansas City is another. That's growing as well.
And Kansas City is the heart of the sports world.
Did you stay up and watch that?
I did.
I didn't even know it was really going on. You know, after the Sox kind of went in the tank, I kind of tapped out and got into football mode. You're going to make fun of me for not being a real fan.
No. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is that, you know, I thought because your Patriots got boat raced by the Kansas City
Chiefs. I'm still depressed about that also,
too. In week 4, to wrap up week 4, I tweeted at Eric Stone Street.
Yes.
Our good friend who appeared on the podcast many times, and who's going to appear on this new show as well, that he's on a roll, that the Chiefs boat raced the Pats on Monday Night Football. The Royals win and the playoffs on Tuesday night. and A New Modern Family is Wednesday night.
He's owning the week.
He's on a roll right now. And he tweeted at me after that Monday night game, which was sort of guilty as charged, how the Monday night coverage, post-Monday night media coverage of that destruction of New England, the second worst loss the Patriots have suffered in the Belichick era, the one that's their worst loss, turned out to be something that they wear as a badge of honor, that 31-point shutout loss in the Super Bowl year of, what was that, 2003, right? I think it was 03, yeah.
Started the season, released Lawyer, and then he went to the Bills to Buffalo.
Then they finished the season beating the Bills by the same score and then won the Super Bowl. Yep. But this 27-point disaster on Monday Night Football, picks of Tom Brady, was
it's
brutal.
Not good, Rich.
Two picks of Tom Brady and a fumble, three turnovers. Right. So it was beyond brutal. But Stone Street pointed out that everyone was talking about how the Patriots lost and how the Patriots look lost and how Tom Brady looks even more lost behind a terrible offensive line and a defense that can't stop anybody, blah, blah, blah. And nobody's talking about how great Alex Smith looked,
right,
how great Jamaal Charles looked when everybody thought he might have a high ankle sprain, and how the best number 87 in the tight end position out there was Travis Kelce, who looked more like Gronkowski than Gronkowski does right
Beast.
Now. I mean, no one's talking about
no,
that.
Of course. And all due respect to Kansas City, but what do you expect everyone to talk about? Like, Patriots are perennial Super Bowl contenders. They got this coach. They got this quarterback. They got that tight end, that organization. And they looked that bad? What do you expect everyone to talk about?
Well, and that's the whole point with the Chiefs, that they need to beat Peyton Manning, win the division, start stringing together division titles with Alex Smith, with Andy Reid, and, you know, start removing from the active list of stats the fact that the last starting quarterback to win a playoff game for them was Joe Montana. So they need to remove that from the active list before, you know, these conversations turn towards their greatness as opposed to the team who we're used to seeing have greatness look the way they did. Oh, and that was pretty
used
brutal.
To seeing.
Well, and they lost to the Titans at home. So they didn't really do anything yet this season to deserve national attention until Monday night.
Spoke to a high-ranking NFL official who shall be nameless, saying that you have to throw the first 2 weeks of an NFL season out the door, because with the way the preseason works now and the way training camp works now and the way that you practice because of the new collective bargaining agreement, nobody really hits anybody, tackles anybody until the first week of the season. So weeks one and two of the regular season are akin to preseason weeks. That's how they view that type of football.
Do you think that helps explain the Dallas Cowboys week one performance?
Well, perhaps so, yes. Perhaps so. And the fact that Tony Romo was knocking off the rust and DeMarco Murray hadn't been hit and put the ball on the turf. And we see how great DeMarco Murray has been. He is the leading rusher in the NFL through the first four games of the season. By far, he leads the league in that. My preseason prediction of LeSean McCoy winning the rushing title looks brutal, but not as brutal as Lovie Smith as my preseason coach of the year. That looks pretty darn
terrible.
How about my preseason prediction for rushing champ of Adrian Peterson?
Well, you know what? That is the worst of them all. That is the worst of them all. Correct. Because at least Lovie just came up with the big upset win of the year.
Unbelievable.
And just proving... I didn't like the Josh McCown move from the very beginning. I didn't understand it. That backup quarterbacks are backup quarterbacks for a reason. Now, I granted, Rich Gannon had a late career renaissance.
And took him to the Super Bowl, but still.
We have seen a lot of veteran quarterbacks catch fire towards the end of their career. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl in Tampa.
Was he over 35 when the Bucs won the Super Bowl?
I'm almost sure he was.
But that goes back to the discussion we had in a couple before, where McCown, one of four guys, 35 and over, starting this season.
And Brees hasn't looked the same, and Brady doesn't look the same, but you know it looks the same as Peyton Manning, man. He's coming off a bye this
Angels
week.
Wonder.
Coming off a bye this week, taking on one of the two lone remaining undefeated teams, the Arizona Cardinals, are in the Rocky Mountains at 3-0, and it looks like Carson Palmer's coming back, and the other undefeated team plays on Sunday night against the Patriots, man.
I do not have a good feeling.
Man. You should not.
I don't.
Because last year, the Bengals stopped Tom Brady.
50-plus consecutive?
56 consecutive games with a touchdown pass until that game. And
the Patriots' pass rush was non-existent Monday night in Kansas City, and the Bengals have yet to yield a sack of Andy Dalton.
And they're also coming off a bye.
Remember all the chatter in the offseason when Dalton got that contract, too, and people were up in arms? And he's 3-0. He took a franchise that had never been to back-to-back playoffs. He's taken them there 3 years in a row now. Time to start giving Andy Dalton some credit.
Well, again, it's the same thing we discussed about with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Got to earn it.
You got to win in January.
Sure. You
got to win in January. And again, Peyton Manning is a perfect example of this dynamic. Yep. He is on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. He is without a doubt one of the greatest to ever lace them up in the history of the game. And there are tons of people who feel he has much left to prove, who feel that he can never be considered in the Mount Rushmore of football because of the way he's played in January
and February. Sub 500 in the postseason.
So if that applies to Peyton Manning, it damn well applies to Andy Dalton.
Well, it's the conversation we just had about the Chiefs, why no one's up in arms about the Chiefs dominating New England. It's more about New England's failures. If Cincinnati goes to New England, puts the bang thing, to quote you, Rich, on the Patriots, we're going to start talking about the Bengals and the Chiefs in that regard.
We'll see. I think the Bengals win this week, but I think Denver takes down Arizona, and I think the Bengals are the last undefeated team in the NFL this year, which would be a great start for them. A great start for them.
Oh.
Especially when you take look at how the Steelers are. We don't even know who they are. They crushed Carolina and then come home, and they can't even get one single first down against the Bucs to keep Mike Glennon off the field, and marches down the field with Bobby Rainey in there instead of Doug Martin. Me as a Doug Martin fantasy owner screaming at the screen. Screaming at the screen. By the way, in my fantasy leagues, I am 1-3 in the Garland League.
Uh-oh.
And 1-2-1 in the Fishmonger League.
Uh-oh.
I tied because we don't do
fractions.
No, fractional points is for sure.
We don't do
really?
Fractional.
I won this week on a fractional, so I'm taking it.
Damn well you should. But we tied. I was down in the Fishmonger League. Just real quick, because as you know, we don't usually talk about this stuff because it's like bad beats in poker. It happens to everybody. Nobody wants to hear it.
How are your kids doing, Rich?
Thank you. Exactly. Same thing. Same thing. Let me talk about my kids. Let me talk about my bad beats in poker. Let me talk about fantasy disasters. Let me talk about all of the things you could give a rat's you know what about. See, I helped you out there.
Thank you.
But
I'm
also getting ready for the new show.
Yes.
Where I can't curse.
Self-imposed.
Censor ourselves.
We should have a job.
See? There you go. Mark the
time code.
There we go. Or for old time's sake, just let it slip
just
past
it slide.
The latex goalie. So I was down against. I'm playing against the guy I want to beat the most because he is.
Oh, the trash talk.
Yeah, he's the trash. He's vitriol, texting me all the time.
Right.
Certainly, when I started 0-2, he couldn't have been happier about it. So he's got two players on a bye this week. Okay, he's got a tight end on a bye, and he's got a wide receiver on a bye.
Okay.
He picks up Larry Donnell and Eddie Royal.
Oh.
Eddie Royal has 5 touchdowns, I think, on the year.
But he goes Larry Donnell, and I decide, you know what, because he's got Kirk Cousins, too, I figure Eli Manning is going to throw his usual picks, right?
Okay.
The Giants' offense, certainly this year even, has been good for at least a turnover or two in the red zone, not just anywhere, in the red zone. I get the Redskins defense -3. They post. Kirk Cousins, at least, was, you know, what with the bed. So he had only 5 points, but Larry Donnell went crazy.
Was that 30 points?
The most receptions in a game in the end zone by a Giants tight end since Joe freaking Walton, the former Jets coach, who I didn't even remember played for the Giants back in 62. That's what this lucky SOB who I'm going against gets. But
That's
I have
brutal.
A very good Sunday. I take the lead. He gets Sunday night football with DeMarco Murray, 31 points out of him because we have a 5-point bonus for 100 yards rushing. So I am down 2 going into the Monday night game. He has Julian Edelman. I have Tom Brady. And one pick after another turnover, and we tied. You know how? I was still up 1 with the Hussein Abdullah touchdown to go for the pick 6, -2 that put me up 1. He got a garbage time point out of Julian Edelman with Garoppolo throwing him because they pulled Brady.
I know.
And if Brady was the one who threw it, it would have been a door. It would have been
won.
A wash.
It wouldn't matter.
The
right?
1 point Edelman would have got would have given Brady one more point.
Unbelievable.
And that's how we tied.
Wow.
Right?
That's
so I'm 1-2-1, but that made him the guy who wanted to beat 1-1-2. He's tied 2 weeks in a row. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I don't even know
Never.
how do we
Never.
What do you
so
do with that?
We do bench points. Like if your starters tie,
yeah,
it goes
BS.
To your bench points.
That's BS.
It's tough in bye weeks.
But that's exactly in bye weeks. Why should you be held accountable?
Not doing fraction points is kind of BS. Like why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know.
Guy in my league this week had Peyton on a bye, picked up Eli, and he had picked up Larry Donnell 2 weeks ago.
Oh my.
Eli
Bonus.
And Larry Donnell, like 60-plus points
Crushed.
Out of both guys. Crushed.
Crushed it.
Wow. Crushed it.
Yeah, so that's where I am in fantasy football. The Raiders go ahead and fire their coach, Dennis Allen. They had him come back from London. they didn't do to him what the Mets did to Willie Randolph. Remember they fired him at 2 in the morning in Anaheim? The Mets were out playing the Angels. They fired him in Southern California.
Or what USC did to Lane Kiffin.
Well, they let Lane come back, but... Fired him on the bus.
At the tow
back. At the, yeah.
So they just let Dennis Allen come back, go home, and on the phone fired him.
Called him.
Ian Rappaport says that it was done over the phone.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And Mark Davis, speaking the day after, said that they've just exchanged voicemails.
Unbelievable.
But they haven't. And Tony Sperano is
back.
The interim head coach with everybody thinking Gruden, that they're going to throw
that
a ton of money at John Gruden
week.
And have him come
all
out.
All week that's been the talk.
I don't buy it.
Can I ask
it.
A question about Sperano?
I don't either.
Didn't transitional lenses go out? Like, wasn't that a nice
No, no.
Thing?
Actually, here's the issue with this, and you'll have to understand, and we'll keep this on tape. Moving forward for this show that you're about to embark on, now that you are now going to be mostly on-air talent.
I can't sidetrack?
You are going to have a lot of, going to have a lot of producing responsibilities on this Rich Eisen show. You're going to have that. You're going to be doing a lot. By the way, you're going to be doing, as you know, a lot of the pre-interviews of the celebrities who are coming in. This would be like a regular talk show where you're going to pre-interview them and you're going to set me up with some good things
right.
to say. But the things that you say, before you say them, you need to know
the facts.
The facts.
Oh.
Tony Sperano had a hot grease incident years ago as a kid. That messed with his eyesight.
So I'm the a-hole.
So you are the idiot.
Yep.
Yes. You are the a-hole.
Yeah.
So on this podcast, the final one, I leave you with this form of advice moving forward.
No.
Don't be the a-hole. Know what you're saying before you say it.
Is this thing on?
I knew that story because 2 years ago I said something on Twitter.
What's up with you with the transition lenses? It's bright out. It's dark.
And someone wrote back to me.
No, he can't. His eyes don't handle it.
Ah.
Yes.
Sorry, Tony Sperano.
There you go.
If you're listening.
Well, but Tony Sperano, a lot of people are wondering, how does he get another shot?
Here it is.
He's the interim.
Here's
That's all
audition.
He is. I don't buy John Gruden coming out of that Monday night booth gig. The amount of money that he makes for not winning or losing every single week. Is priceless.
Why go back to sleepless nights?
I tweeted Daniel Jeremiah last night because he said something about how he was hearing, Gruden and stuff. And I said, "What?" I said, "Just that he hasn't lost a game in 6 years and makes $4 to $5 million a year. He's going to work, and he works probably 20 to 25 hours a week. He's going to work 110 plus hours a week for $7 to $9 million, and have the stress. Why deal with it?
Because these guys can't." get it out of their system.
That's what Daniel said. He said
they all can't get it out of their system.
Yeah, but don't we all think that Bill Cowher was going to come back?
He might still. He might still. For the right gig, I don't know. For the right gig, the right job, they all still have it in them.
Yeah.
I'm about, we're going to wrap this thing up shortly because I have to get to the airport going to Green Bay.
Yes.
And the neat thing about this studio is it's right next door to LAX. It's going to be like a 5-minute drive to get to the gate. Steve Mariucci, who, as you know, is just like Gruden, where he doesn't win or lose every week. He talks about football. Makes a nice living of it. He's living in California. He's got a beautiful wife. He's an empty nester. He's living life.
Yep.
And he, the grind of coaching doesn't miss that. But when he goes out to these Thursday night games, and he stands out there, and he's watching the game from the sidelines, he puts his hands on his knees. He's leaning over. He's slapping the line judge. In the butt, he's talking to these guys. He's mixing it up. He's doing this. He's
still
doing
into
that.
It.
You know, and he's still into it. These guys are still into it. They can't get out of their system. But, yeah, Green Bay, and I'm hoping Teddy Bridgewater plays. I know I might be down dating this, but for various reasons. He's dynamic. He's great. He was limited in practice on Wednesday with an ankle injury. And I don't know if he's going to go. I hope he does, because it really gives the Vikings a better chance to win. No offense to Christian Ponder. And also, I don't know. I just forget how many times in the past couple of Thursday nights I'm sitting there on Twitter, Thursday night seasons, and everybody's tweeting at me, did you see what Bridgewater just did for Louisville on the ESPN Thursday night game?
Yeah.
He's used to playing on the under the lights in a short week. And I think it makes it a bigger and better game against Green Bay, who I think is still going to win anyway. And talk about that real quick. Aaron Rodgers telling everyone to relax and then backing it up.
That doesn't
against
happen
the Bears.
Often.
That was big time stuff.
Huge. Can I ask you a question about Thursday? So
sure.
You're going to Lambeau, and that's somewhere as a diehard football fan. It's on the bucket list. I want to get there. You've been there multiple times. I'm assuming Thursday Night Football's been there.
Yeah.
So, you love it. Great.
Of course.
Does it feel like you're on hallowed ground?
It's incredible. Of course it does.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And our outdoor set is right next to the Vince Lombardi statue outside the atrium. Come on by and stop by and say hello. And it's nothing like it. Lambeau is incredible. You know where you're driving and you see the Meijer, the Kroger, the Kmart, and the stadium. Boom, 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 boom. One after another. It's remarkable.
Plus,
and the fans there, the fans are incredible. Mariucci knows somebody who has a house there. You know, they live out of town. They're big Packer fans. And they have a house. I don't know who it is, but they clearly have a lot of money. They live out of town, but they own a house. And that they rent the house out to college-age kids to live in it. Three or four of them living in this house in their own rooms. And then on football Sundays and weekends, the landlord moves in, holds a party, big tailgate party, and turns his tenants into the wait staff for his party.
What?
Hope they're getting a reduced rent. That's an amazing landlord, though.
That is what the landlord
that
does.
That is unbelievable. I've
says,
never heard
you
of that.
You live here, you pay rent, but guess what? You're the help when I come in for my party.
This guy's a baller.
By the way, next year,
Mariucci,
we go to Lambeau. We're the help for the party.
There you go. Isn't that great?
That would be amazing.
You live there, but the landlord comes in.
And like, takes
sorry,
over.
Bud. You got to find a different place to live, and then you got to come to work and feed me. You know, serve me and pour the cocktail.
8 Sundays a year, they're kicked out of their house.
That's a true story. Mariucci told me this.
That's amazing.
I mean, how many, it's the type of place where fans, hotels are booked every single weekend by Packer fans who live from out of the country.
Well in advance.
Well in advance. They book hotels every single weekend. And then when the schedule comes out, they see what the away dates are and cancel the rooms on those weekends and keep the ones for the home dates. It's remarkable. There's really no other place like it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I'm excited to go.
A few of my good friends are Packers fans, so I know about it.
So I got to wrap this up so I actually can make these flights. So give me your last international shout out of the week. This will be my last tap dance. Of course, go to our NFL Pick'em site, right? We're going to continue doing that.
Yeah, we'll continue doing picks. That group's alive and well. Obviously, once the show starts, that'll be a part of the show weekly with you on the road Thursdays. We'll pick games on Thursdays. And please subscribe to the new show. If you're subscribed to this one, as we said, it'll
stop. Podcast1.com.
Yeah.
Watch the show starting October 6th, 12 to 3 Eastern Time on DirecTV, channel 239.
The best lead-in in the business.
Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick Show before us.
Right before us, and then we're on from our new El Segundo set where you can watch the show also on your phone or tablet on NFL Now, internationally even. And it's all good, man.
What's been pretty cool is this week we've been doing our rehearsals here and just kind of getting under the way. And obviously this show doesn't happen, as you've mentioned many times, without Dan and the support from those guys. But Rich has been on talkback with you did Fritzy the other day.
Yes.
You did Seton today. So it's going to be fun to be able to interact with those guys in that show and that set. And then Dan being one of the regular guests on this show.
Yep. We're going to have it. Yeah. The final international shout out in the Rich Eisen podcast history.
International shout out is Rune Hayden at Rune Hayden 1. He says REP will soon RIP. So how about an international shout out listening since episode 1?
Wow.
A Vikings fan from Netherlands. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Isn't that incredible?
Incredible.
The guy's name's
Rune. I'm getting all misty.
By the way, his avatar is him in like his football outfit.
He replied, I tweeted him how sweet his avatar
he's,
looks.
He's incredible.
I guess he played like just a public rec league football over there. And
you know, that's from somebody's website. That's not really
him. I don't think so. I think you it's think really, really him. Yeah, yeah. Why
it's like
not?
A, it's like those families in the frames you buy.
No, he's a student. He's
it's
a
not
student.
Like a real
so
family.
He's got
like
those
a,
aren't real. I thought those
no,
were
real. No,
there's no. Thanks, Rune. Thanks to everybody and all the international yeah. shout-outs. Keep them coming. We're going to try to do them daily, at least weekly.
Yes, and
on
thanks
the new
to
show.
Everybody who has not only listened, but everybody who has worked on this show, to the NFL Media Group.
Yep.
We were the first. And it's clearly we're not the last. There's some great podcasts that are on the NFL media dial. Damashek, Around the League, all those guys are going to take
Move
mantle
the Sticks
moving
has
forward.
A new podcast. Yeah. Yep. He'll and, be on our show.
Yep, Daniel Jeremiah. And so there's lots of great things going on there. But please do follow us at Rich Eisen Show. Go to richeisenshow.com. Podcast One will be the spot to get this audio version of the show. NFL Now is a spot where you can archive the TV show.
And there's and also a show Instagram, Rich Eisen Show, and Facebook now is up, too.
We are so self-promotional.
Facebook.com.
I'm getting sick, and I'm the most self-promotional person I know.
Hey, Rich, thanks yes. for bringing us along on this voyage, man.
You're
we
the
can't
man.
Wait
yeah,
for the
dude.
Future. I really appreciate it. And
look where we are.
It's going to be amazing.
We're sitting. Wait till everybody sees this.
It's incredible.
Thank you. That's it for the Rich Eisen podcast. That is it. Wow.
That's
for,
it.
At Chris Brockman, at Chris Law, I'm at Rich Eisen. We're at Rich Eisen Show.
Stay listening, friends.